incredibly grateful for a reminder this morning. First thing that somebody said to me this morning as I got here was, "Pastor Jeff, we were praying for you." I am incredibly grateful for that today. As I bring a message today, I have struggled with, trepidation with. I'm not happy to bring this message. This is not, to me, joyous. Although this congregation, this place, this spot in this city is of great joy to me. I love this group of people. They are a real enjoyment to me. As I bring this message, some of you may not be happy with it as we go along. And as I touch some things, and as I step on your toes, and as I do those things, please understand that, number one, you prayed for me. This message has come out of your prayers. And number two, I love you dearly with all of my heart. This week, I watched something on that Billy Graham put out. I don't know if you guys have seen this at all, Flying Blind? Okay, so you haven't seen this. This was touching to me in that everyone, there's four stories in it. The four stories are based in Christian people's lives. The first story they speak of is a pastor and his wife. And the pastor's wife gets caught in adultery. And the whole story that goes into that. The second one is another man of God, a man that you would respect in church. And he's caught in pornography. And how he has to explain that to his wife and deal with that within the context of God. And the third man on here is an athlete. He's a Christian athlete, one who professes Christ, one who gives glory to God for his success. And he's caught using steroids. The fourth child on here, a teenager who proclaims her homosexuality and how God works in her life. And as I bring this message, I start with a passage out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 18 says something about us. And I was going to do this, and I'm not going to do this, because I was going to say, if you truly love God, stand up. And I wasn't concerned about who would stand up. I was concerned about who would remain sitting. And I was also concerned about those hearts that would stand, even though they really didn't want to. When I was 13 in a church congregation, it was a Catholic church congregation, I stood for God. But I didn't actually believe that God existed. This morning, this message is strongly for those of you who truly love God. Truly love God. And yet, there are some things that are going on within the context of your life that nobody knows. And you've not yet dealt with them. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 17 through 18. First Peter chapter 4, 17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" I am stunned in today's society by some things, that have happened. As I looked at the statistics for suicide, do you know that the statistics for suicide for girls have doubled in the last 4 years? Teenage girls, in the last 4 years, it has doubled. By the way, I bet you didn't know this. Who's more likely to kill themselves, a teenage boy or a teenage girl? teenage boy, 4 times more likely than a teenage girl to commit suicide. I was at a prayer meeting yesterday with some folks that go to a church out in the valley. And in that prayer meeting, we had 15 people. 2 of those 15 people spoke to the group about having thoughts of suicide. Christian people committed to God in a prayer meeting in the city of Santa Monica, 2 of them having thoughts of suicide. Anybody hear the Me Too movement? Me Too movement?
Heard of it?
You heard of it. I know you heard of it. It drives me crazy. Okay? It drives me crazy because it is sort of an epitome of our current society. Our current society finds something wrong and screams about it and doesn't do a thing about it at all. There's a lot of feeling in it that goes into it, a lot of stuff that people go and feel, but there's very little substance to what happens afterwards. There is so much that happens and every one of those names is somebody who has been hurt somewhere along the line, but there's no fix. You're on a list, you're on this page, but there's no fix. That was never God's intent. By the way, I have rules for my teenage daughters about how they can date. You know what the number one rule is? Before a guy can date my daughter, he dates me first. Literally. That was the number one rule for my daughters. My daughters, if you wanted some guy to date you, now I will tell you that my daughters ignored my rule completely. They went to school, okay? They went to school and they visited with boys, and yes, they dated, and I didn't know they dated. But I'm telling you, the ones they married, they dated me. In other words, we went to a place to eat together. We talked about what the rules were for my daughter within the context of their dating relationship. I'm convinced that if we dated the way God would prefer us to date, there would be no Me Too. But even in this room, there are those who would easily be on that list. Worse, in this room, there are men who have put women on that list. Before God, we have to deal with that. Before God, we have to deal with it. The rules have changed. Unfortunately, nobody's telling me the rules. What are the rules? And I will tell you, the guys are a little nuts right now because they don't know the rules. Everything changed. Everything that was has changed. We'll tell you that God's rules still work. They still accomplish the task correctly. And if we live within the context of God's rules, we will accomplish some really good things. There's a measuring stick in Scripture when it comes to our churches. And if you look in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Hey, which church am I going to talk about? Church in Laodicea. Everybody measures themselves against the church in Laodicea, right? Anybody want to be this church? Do we want to be that church? Do we want to be the church in Laodicea where Jesus says, poop. Take a look at it. Chapter 3, verse 14, to the angel in the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, Jesus, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I'm about to spit you, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not eat a thing. See, that sounds like us. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you hot or cold? You can answer that one for yourself. Every one of us can answer that one for ourselves. We can look at that and we can go, are we hot or cold? We'll tell you what cools you off in a hurry is sin. Sin cools you off in a hurry. When you have something in your life that you know you have because the Spirit told you you have it, and you allow it to stay there, there is no way that you can get hot for God. No way. Because the devil will sit there and go, hey, you remember that? You remember that? How can you tell them that God is all this when you did that? You can't. You can't. I want to go to this passage that I can we put it up, by the way? Can we get that passage back up? I want to go to this passage. It's the focal passage that I want you to see and I want you to look at, okay? It starts lovely. I love this. Be imitators of God. How many of you want to be imitators of God? I'm in. I want to be an imitator of God. That's easy. As beloved children, I want to be a child of God. You had two little children in here early. All I want to do is hold them. Okay? My firstborn daughter called me this week and said she's expecting. Yay! See, my second-born daughter beat her. She's got two children already, okay? But my first-born daughter, she has wanted children all of her life. She's all about kids. That's what she is. So we're just thrilled, overexcited. This is, she's just, and that is just fantastic. Being a child of God is wonderful. It says what? Walk in love. That's where we should be. By the way, love is not a feeling. How many of you had a first boyfriend or girlfriend? Raise your hand. First boyfriend or girlfriend? Raise your hand. If you had a first boyfriend or girlfriend, okay, you were in love, right? How many of you married them? Did you? Yay! We all rejoice with that, but the rest of us are going, yeah, we felt like we were in love. It didn't happen. Okay? We had that feeling. Keep it. Keep it forever. Keep it forever. It's a wonderful thing. I've been married for 28 years. She's not my first girl, okay? She is my last. She is my last. My sweetheart is precious to me, okay? So we have all this joy and stuff in here. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, we have a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. All of that is great. All of us jump in, go, right, we're in there, right? We want that. We love that. And then it goes, but sexual immorality. And we all go, ugh. As I stand before you and as I look with you, this is an issue for the church today. Y'all know it. Okay? And young people, you know it more than we do. You deal with all those little videos. All those little videos, all those little things that you kind of float around. Okay? For us, we've had to deal with this, and we need to. We need to remove all impurity and covetousness. We need to pull those things out of our lives. We need to get different with this. Okay? Must not even be named among you. And that's why we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. If we got something going on in our life that's anywhere near immorality, nobody's talking about it. But you need to. You need to get it out. It needs to go away. And I'm not telling you it will be easy. I'm not telling you it'll be easy. I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior at 21. That's when I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you think there was some immorality in my life before 21? There was a subscription to Hustler magazine in my age before 21. How long do you think for those pictures, it took for those pictures to go away from my head? 10 years. I'm telling you. Been here, done this, know this. This does not go away easy. 10 years after I invited Jesus into my heart, made him Lord and Savior in my life, it took 10 years for those pictures to go away. Don't get them in your head. Don't get them in your head. You see something, turn it off. You see something, come and get it away from you. Don't let it get in. This immorality piece is a big deal. It's in the church and needs to get out. And it won't get out immediately. I'm telling you, it takes time. Be aware. Immorality is a big deal. And it keeps us from being hot for God. A little more here. Let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk. I can't tell you how many videos I've seen that my children have laughed at that have cuss words in them. Y'all know? Y'all know? I'm not kidding, right? It's all there. Okay? Bam, there it is. Hello. Let's click. And then we pass it on to all our friends. Okay, adults, you do the same thing. I'm just picking on them. Okay? Get them out. Don't forward them. Yes, you're going to see them. I'm sorry. It's the way society is today. Okay? Somebody's going to forward you something that you shouldn't be seeing. And you're going to love them, and they're going to be people that you care about, and they're going to forward to you, and you're going to look at it and go, why did you send this to me? And you kind of need to say that back to them. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? You kind of need to gently say this back to them. I love you. Please don't send me anything like that again. Please don't send me things that are racist against people. Please don't send me things that are sexist against people. Please don't send me things that have cuss words. Please don't. And they're going to go, what are you, some kind of prude? And guess what you're going to have to say? Yes, I love Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I love God, and I'm looking at this passage, and this passage says to me, let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place. Take care of your email, won't it? You won't have to worry about all that 4 million emails that come, all those little pictures that come. You won't have to worry about that if they listen to you. Instead, but let there be what? Thanksgiving. What can you be thankful for? What can you share that's thankful? See, there's a huge difference between those two things. When you're sharing stuff that you're thankful for, it's a replacement for all the rest of this stuff. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody had that on their plate? What am I thankful for today? I'm thankful that you told me that you prayed for me last week, this morning. It's the first thing I heard when I walked in. That man right there said it to me. It resonated in my head, resonated in my heart. Now, he didn't intend it that way. It just was. I'm thankful. Let's share thankfulness with people on a regular basis. Now, having said all those things, having looked at all those things, having touched all those things, I want to remind you that Jesus said to us in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In the same book, same chapter, John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Now, how many of us have sinned? All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, right? Okay, I want to remind you of a guy that's pretty significant in the New Testament. I want to remind you of a guy that was a big deal in the New Testament that sinned. I want to remind you of a guy who denied Jesus. We want to remind you of this guy that walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, was there with Jesus, saw Jesus heal those guys that were, you know, the guy that was leprous, saw him heal them. Saw a guy raised from the dead. Saw a guy, he put mud on the ground, put that mud on the guy's eyes, and the guy could see. Saw a guy that was lowered through a roof and walked. That guy, he was with him. I've never done all those things with Jesus, okay? I get to read those things about Jesus, but I never experienced those things with Jesus. This guy did. Some of you already know who I'm talking about. Who am I talking about? Of course. So Peter, in the Gospel of John, I think it's John. Hope it's John. John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. John chapter 18, verse 15 said, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl asked Peter. He replied, I'm not. I'm not with him. I'm not with that man. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. There's another passage in between of a question of Jesus. But in verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, you are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. Denied Jesus how many times? Three. Think Jesus was happy at that moment? Personally, Jesus had a whole lot more going on than Peter's denial, okay? All of us will go through this. All of us will struggle with hanging on to Jesus when there's something going on. In this case, Peter, he didn't want to get in trouble, so he chose not to say he was with Jesus. Some of you are going to go and say, hey, I still want to be friends with this person, so I'm not going to say I'm with Jesus. Some of you are going to say, I can't handle what's going on in my life, so I'm going to take this drink. I'm going to take this drug. Some of you in this room are going to say, you know, it's... Jesus isn't enough. Jesus is the truth and the way. No one comes to the Father but through him. Now, what I love about Christ is he doesn't leave us hanging. Ever. Peter denies Jesus three times. Go to the last chapter of John. John chapter 21, verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, this is Jesus, he's raised from the dead, he's on the shore, they've got some fish, and they're eating. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Do you want to be asked that question by God? Do you want to be asked that question by God? Or do you want to never have to answer that question? Jesus asked this question of Peter. He asked this question because Peter had denied him three times. So he asked him, "Do you truly love me more than these?" Now Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs," gave him a mission. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you truly love me?" Didn't Peter just answer this question? He answered, and he's not upset yet. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Typical Peter. Now he's upset. See, the last time he got upset. When he denied Christ, he got upset. In another passage, he calls down curses and all kinds of stuff, right? But here, he gets bent out of shape at Jesus. Because Jesus is, how many men in here have been asked the same question by your wives three times? And the third time you went, "What?" But Jesus is bringing Peter back. He's bringing Peter back. Jesus knows. He knows that Peter is going to have to deal with this for the rest of his life. If Jesus did not come back to him, Peter was going to have to deal with this sin for the rest of his life. He was going to be the one that denied Jesus. That's what he was going to be. He was going to be, "I denied him. They asked and I said no." And here's Jesus coming back and saying three times, "Do you love me?" He restores Peter through these three times, these three moments, these three places. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. And I'll tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." It's really that simple. I've spoken to many of you this morning. The Spirit of God has spoken to you, some of you. Spoken to you about things from your past, spoken to you about things that you're currently doing, spoken to you about things that you need to deal with. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is telling you to deal with them this morning. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Where's that found? Anybody remember? 1 John what? I think it's 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Let's go there. Go there. Get your Bible open. Go to 1 John 1:9. As a matter of fact, let's back up a verse. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." That'll take care of your sin issue. Verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." See, our relationship with God is not built on We come to know Jesus and that's the end of the story. Our life with Jesus is built on a relationship. Been married for 28 years. Do you think I've ever fought with my wife? Yes, I fought with my wife. Of course I fought with my wife. There was something I wanted that she wanted that happens. It's daily. Do you think there was ever a time when I said to myself, I really would be better off by myself. Do you think I've ever done that? Yes, I've done that. Did I ever tell her that? No, that so don't go home and tell her that. No, don't call my house, okay? The same thing can happen in a relationship with God. There are times when God says something to you and you go, no way. Or there are times when you just choose to do something that God doesn't want you to do. He'll tell you about it. You'll know about it all the way there. But he's not going to scream at you, because God is not like the devil. The devil screams at you. He's the one that's loud. God is the still, small voice. And this morning, if sin has come into your life and been a part of your life, if sin has been there and you need to deal with it this morning. And I'm going to ask you this morning to stand up. And I'm not going to do it yet. I'm going to do it in a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to ask those of you around that person to lay hands as the Holy Spirit does. So, when I ask you to, if sin has been part of your life that you want to remove it, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask those of you around that person to stand as well, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for forgiveness. We're going to pray that God releases their heart from the damnation that they've felt. Okay? Are you ready? All right. So you can't close your eyes with this one because you won't know, right? And you have to be brave enough. Now, if you can't do it in here, fine, so be it. You find somebody today that you're going to stand up for and say, listen, I've got this issue. I want to deal with it. I want to talk to somebody about it. I wasn't brave enough in here, but you need to be brave enough somewhere along the line, okay? So if you've got something you want to deal with, stand up now. Okay. Everybody else, go find them. Stand up. Find them. Go see them. Go talk to them. Go right now. Get up. You go find somebody to hug on. And let's pray. Ready? So I'm going to pray. You pray with me. Father God, there are people in this room who have felt the need to deal with something with you. Lord, I ask you, as they ask your forgiveness, that you, Lord, forgive them, remove all this guilt and shame that they have in their heart. Father, restore them as you restored Peter. Draw them close in spirit and truth. And Lord, allow them to feel your presence in their life today. Lord Jesus, forgive our sin. Wash it away with the blood that you shed on the cross. Father, restore our hearts to you that we could be 100% hot, committed to you, that Lord, we would be a church that you love. Father, we love you. We praise you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.